Premier League Team of the Season coming right up, followed by a deep dive into what Chelsea's version of a football club business plan looks like. Welcome to Season 2 of the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And my name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchamedia.com or at munchasports on all social media.
So Shreyas, let's jump right in and dissect our team of the season.
This is brutal. Like, pretty much till the, 10 minutes before recording, we were still shuffling and stuff. So
we were, and I think just to lay a couple of ground rules here, obviously we had to cap the number of players we could use from City and Liverpool. Otherwise, I could have easily made a team of the season just between those two teams.
Right.
So we capped that at 3 each.
Right.
What we've also done is use a 4-3-3 formation.
Standard, yeah.
Standard, most widely used in the Premier League. Otherwise, also during our correspondence back and forth, like, things were taking weird-ass shapes, right? Like 5 defenders, 4 forwards or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And what we've also tried to do here is that whichever player played in a specific formation, especially last season, we tried to put him there.
As much as we could, yeah.
So if it's a right-winger, then a right-winger as opposed to throwing them on the left.
Right.
And N'Golo Kante, for example, is a shoe-in for CDM always. But
because he wasn't played there, so...
Exactly, man. So why don't we do one thing? Let's just progress... one at a time.
Yep.
Let's start with our goalie, then go to the back line, the midfielders, and the front line, and take it from there.
Done.
So, who do you have in goalie?
Oh, we're starting with me.
Yes.
We're talking about World Cup winning, Champions League finalist losing Hugo Lloris.
Oh, same, man. I have Hugo Lloris too. I think Alisson, Edison would have been shoo-ins as well, but I had already capped my City and Liverpool players. So we both have Lloris on goal. So suffice to say, according to us, he was the third best in the league last season.
You would say so, yeah.
He still does a pretty good job, man. I think he's pretty top tier. He doesn't get the credit he usually deserves. He's overshadowed by, well, the two Brazilians this season.
Yeah.
DDG for like the better part of the last decade, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. So, we have Hugo Lloris there. No competition.
Yeah.
Backline? Shoot.
Okay. So, left back, I've got Robertson.
Okay.
My center backs are Van Dijk and Laporte.
Okay.
And my right back's Wan-Bissaka.
Pretty close to mine, actually. Pretty close to mine. I have Robertson, VVD.
Okay.
I have Toby Alderweireld.
Okay.
And I have Wan-Bissaka.
Whoa.
Dude, I mean, I'm impressed by Wan-Bissaka as is.
Yes.
But then, for this exercise, I dug up numbers.
Yeah.
And that guy's high on... most tackles, most interceptions, blocks. Like, he's up there.
He's a beast, man. Not just figures-wise and the way... who's the manager of Crystal Palace, man? Come on.
Hodgson.
Thank you, Roy Hodgson. So, the way he used Wan-Bissaka is also really interesting. So, Wan-Bissaka himself actually started out in his youth levels as a right winger. And so, obviously, he's more sort of, you know, akin to, like, attacking and, like, gunning up the wing and stuff. So, him shifted to right back... The cool thing is because he's so fast, like, especially the match against City, he didn't let, like, Sterling or Sané, whoever's on his side, like, have a good game because he's so freaking fast.
Right.
Those guys couldn't get, you know, rid of him. Like, they take, you know, like, Sterling and Sané both have this habit of sort of kicking the ball a little ahead and just, like, outright sprinting and getting past the defenders. You can't do that with Wan-Bissaka. He's not only fast, he's strong, he's got a very low center of gravity. So, he was racking up his assists. He's got a good cross. He really killed it. And I hope that sort of continues with United. Let's see, this is like a huge step for him. So this is going to be super interesting to see what happens with him.
You know, one conundrum I was facing the entire time, especially with my right back, was I really wanted Trent Alexander-Arnold to be in there.
Right.
He's definitely at par with Robertson in terms of the performances they put in last season, right?
Yeah.
So the only question that was crossing my mind was that if I play Trent and Robertson and I have to play VVD, my Liverpool 3 is over right there.
Yeah.
So Wan-Bissaka... came in as a good
second best.
I wouldn't even say second best. I thought he was at par with Trent, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Trent does have really high assists. I think he has one more than Robertson in the Premier League season.
Yeah, he takes set pieces as well, man. He's got a few free kicks in as well. So
and a decent cross.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess the same thinking behind choosing Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah.
I went with Toby Alderweireld because I... again, exhausted my Man City quota. I wanted to throw Laporte there in there. He had a pretty decent season. Right. But yeah, I think that's that for the back line.
Right.
Midfield?
Okay. So I've got Fernandinho as my holding.
Okay.
And I've got Son and Bernardo Silva either side.
Son and Bernardo Silva. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Attack-minded. They don't exactly fit there. But I mean, they showed what they could do, not just last season, but over a couple of seasons. So I'm sure that it's very well justified, these positions in my team.
I think Son just played like this sort of an X factor for the team last season. Like, you could never sort of push him away or discount him. He just come with these weird runs, like, all of a sudden, and he's like, he's still up. How is he still up? And then he's just whizzing through the defensive line.
Right.
I think Son's a good choice. Very interesting. Yeah. Fernandinho's sort of a shoe in there. I went for something different though.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So I have Bernardo Silva on my left.
Okay.
Instead of Son, I have Christian Eriksen.
Oh, I was literally like, it was almost like TikTok, like, which one do I take? But yeah, for Son's running, that just stepped up and exactly what
I think
said.
The running's kind of getting compensated by the wingers we play.
Okay.
So Christian Eriksen, overall, the impact on pitch, he's never been like, he'll be like top five in assists every season.
Correct.
Without fail, right. Successful passes and stuff like that. But overall, in terms of success metrics, there's not much. But that's the same case with Bernardo Silva, where both of us had him as a shoe-in. So the impact on field is so high that just the link-up play, being like the ability to create chances and stuff. I really like Christian Eriksen. Seems like he's not going to leave this season.
Yeah.
Although beginning of the transfer window, he alluded that he wanted to get out.
Same with Pochettino. So interesting what's happening with Tottenham.
And they made a signing, dude.
And they lost Trippier.
For dirt. That is true, but I don't know. And I think Danny Rose got left out of their preseason tour squad as well.
Ouch.
So I don't know what they're doing with that fullback situation, because they have Serge Aurier and they have Ben Davies now.
Right.
And nothing else?
If
I can think. So interesting. At least they made a signing, so we know that Danny Levy's alive and well. He's not on vacation or something. So maybe they'll get a fullback in there.
Yeah.
Coming back to my team, so I have Eriksen, Bernardo Silva, and you will never be able to guess this, but I have Idrissa Gueye as my CDM.
Oh, fancy!
Yeah,
Everton.
I think this guy's a beast, dude.
He is. I mean, Everton was super interesting last season with Marco Silva, and they've signed Delf this season. So yeah, I mean, you would still have to convince me why he's there, but I see where you're going.
So, you know, when I was thinking of the holding, then beyond the obvious ones, right? Like, even though I like him, I could not put Jorginho in here.
No, don't, please.
Yeah, I'm not. And then obviously, if Kante would have been playing holding, then it would have been, is it Kante or Fernandinho?
Correct.
Kante or Fernandinho.
Right.
But this guy's like a close third or fourth on my list.
Okay.
And then just doing some research for creating this team, I looked at numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
And this guy's, he's so high in terms of tackles and interceptions, stuff that you really expect a holding guy to do nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Like, not just go forward. And he can go forward. Like, we've seen that.
Right.
But in terms of his defensive capabilities, they're actually very, very high.
Nice.
To the point that he has successful numbers showing, or he has a showing of successful numbers and all the right metrics for a CDM. So I went with Idrissa Gueye. I think that's a good choice. Also, again, because I couldn't take Fernandinho, my three were over for City. Again, I don't want to keep throwing that in there, because I feel like it's disrespecting everyone else who's non-City or Liverpool.
Right.
It's just how it is, man. It was literally between them and everyone else.
Right.
Okay, so that laps up midfield. Yeah. Forward line.
Forwards. Okay, so I've got tied top scorer Aubameyang, and considering what he did at Arsenal, which is like a big deal.
Ouch. Okay.
And yeah, either side of him are Hazard and Salah.
Couldn't let go of Hazard, could you?
No, man. This is basically Chelsea FC. Like, he was Chelsea FC all season, man. He shouldered them throughout the whole season. And when he's on song, he's just a beauty to watch, and sometimes untouchable almost. So, this could be a nice farewell. Couldn't get rid of him. Chelsea, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to talk about it, he deserves a place in the team for sure.
Interesting. And you went with Oba for your striker, which is very curious. I was not expecting that. He obviously joint top scorer, or was he second on the list? I can't tell. I think
no, he was joint. All three, Salah, Mane, and all three of them are African. So
what does that mean? What are you trying to say about that?
is that it's very rare. They're usually European, so it's a big deal for.
That's true.
And I doubt we've had like a three-way tie for the Golden Boot.
Yeah, that's so, also true. Right. But it's also like 21 goals, 22 goals. Yeah, so it's not like, oh my God, so many goals scored.
But then you're forgetting Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know what I really liked last season was Oba and Lacazette's link-up play. It was really good.
Yeah.
I think that's like one of the more the positives of their season.
Correct.
Lacazette didn't end up converting it to too many goals. I think he had 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I think his contribution was still massive in terms of enabling Oba to score that many.
Yes.
And you went with Mo Salah.
Yo.
I didn't like him. Obviously I love him, but I don't think he had the best season last season.
Really?
Yeah, man. You know what? What's sort of... it was always there to see.
Right.
But I feel like got compounded last season was like his shots on goal are so high.
Yeah.
His attempts on target are so high. Right. But his conversion rate's actually pretty poor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like the first few seasons, even like the Chelsea... the Roma off time, and even Fiorentina, it would look like as if he's not a good finisher.
He'd
get there and then he just like
mess it up. Yeah.
And then obviously we had that fire season last season. We're like, okay, this guy's
on
legit.
The map, right? Yeah.
But it's not like he had any fewer chances last season. Right. That was my issue with Salah. Like it felt like he had an equal number of chances, or he had a comparable number of chances.
Yeah.
But the goals being like literally half of what they were, or 10 less in the Premier League.
Yeah.
In my mind, that just took away from his overall impact.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting. Okay, so I'll tell you my forward line. Yeah. I went with. I think this is the first sort of group of players that we have completely different.
Yeah.
So I have Aguero up front.
Okay, that's understandable.
Aguero. I mean, dude, the guy's 30 and
he's still banging
lethal.
Them in. Yeah.
He's lethal.
Yeah.
Every time he's on pitch, the guy's ability to score out of nothing is beautiful to watch. Beautiful to watch.
Right.
On my left, I actually went with Sadio Mane.
Oh, nice.
Because I think that guy's...
he's a workhorse, man.
His presence on field, dude.
Yeah.
Like, every time they want to start a counter, you'll see Salah, as Mane's running, people are shitting themselves, right? Like, because it's just... He plays such a big role in terms of disrupting the other team's defense.
Yeah.
That in turn, starts everything.
Correct.
Then Firmino dropping down if the counter's over. Yeah. Salah just doing his thing. Because Salah's, I don't feel as effective when a defensive line is sitting deep. But Mane can just like, he'll come out of nowhere, do something. He's so quick.
Yeah.
His first touch has actually become better, which at this stage of a career, it's very tough to do, I guess. Yep. And I feel like his first touch is becoming better and better.
Yeah.
So I think Sadio Mane is a big reason why Liverpool were able to do what they did.
Yeah.
Much more than Salah, according to me.
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero, we spoke about.
Yeah.
On my right, even though he doesn't always play right, but he's flexible enough to, I went with Sterling.
Oh, nice.
I think Sterling, at his age, he's still winning PFA Young Player of the Year awards.
Yeah.
Like, that's how young he is, dude.
Yeah.
And he's a shoo-in for, like, all the teams of the seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And his ability to just, the way his game's improving season after season under Guardiola. Like, when he left Liverpool, for example, everyone knew he was great.
Yeah.
But no one could have even imagined that he'd be as good as he is today.
Correct. And also, like, he had, like, apparently had, like, attitude issues and stuff that he'd get, you know, let it go to his head and stuff. And I'd seen this documentary by Brendan Rodgers when he was Liverpool coach. And he had an issue with Sterling. And he said, yeah, you're a brilliant kid and you have so much of potential and, you know, you're the future of, you know, football and stuff. But he's like, yeah, you need to put your head on your shoulders and have a good head on your shoulders. And, you know, that'll take you the next step ahead. It's hard work and talent. And then it's also a lot to do with your attitude. And then to know how much of a hard taskmaster Pep is, and he takes zero bullshit. I am very, very surprised at how Sterling has evolved his game. And he's literally won so many games single-handed, scoring from the 90th minute to the 95th minute, which is so damn irritating. He even did that in the Champions League thanks to VAR. They didn't get through and Tottenham got through.
Right.
So, yeah, I get that Sterling, you know, with Pep in that combination with City, he's unstoppable.
He's unstoppable and he can only get better.
Right.
And one thing about Sterling, which I've actually, I really appreciated, especially during last season, was that the sort of, the dynamism he has, the type of player he is, you know, just running and that's a very sort of, historically, that's a very injury-prone style of playing.
Yeah.
And he still managed to, you know, like...
stay consistent.
Or has up until now, touch wood, let's just hope that continues. But I feel like he's a shoo-in for my team.
Okay,
so just quickly recapping, the common players that we have...
Yeah. Lloris,
Hugo Lloris, Wan-Bissaka, Van Dijk, Robertson.
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Not bad, man. I was expecting a lot of sort of common players here. Yeah. So your three City players that you went with were Fernandinho, Bernardo Silva, and Laporte. Interesting. And the three Liverpool ones were?
Van Dijk, Robertson, and Salah.
And Salah. That was Van Dijk, Robertson, and Mane for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our team of the season. Yeah, manager?
Oh, shit. So, yeah, it has to be between Klopp and Pep, right?
It doesn't have to. It should be, but it doesn't have to.
No, but I think I'm going to go for...
Rafael Benitez.
The poor guy's taking Solomon Rondon with him to China from West Brom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I'm going to go with, I don't know. There was some good stuff going on, man, even outside of the top six.
Yep. Poch, man. Never ignore Poch.
For sure, but I...
Maurizio Sarri, man.
Oh, no, please.
Come on, one time wonder at Chelsea. Got you the Europa League.
Okay, let's call that a wonder then. Hey, galti se ho gaya third place. That's because everyone else screwed up, but... No, man, I think I'm going to go for the Wolves manager. And this sucks that I don't even know his full name, but...
Juan something Esposito?
Rui... I was going to say Rui Patricio, but that's the...
That's a goalie.
That's a goalie. No, but I was just overall very impressed with how they set up. And yeah, it's Nuno Espirito Santo.
Nuno Espirito Santo. Right. Interesting. So you went with the Portugal manager. Oh, sorry, Wolves manager.
Yeah.
It was basically the Portugal team, right?
It's basically...
No?
Yeah. Basically, what do we call this? Mino Raiola FC?
No, Jorge Mendes.
Jorge Mendes, oh yeah, the Portuguese. Yeah. Yeah.
Jorge Mendes FC.
Yeah.
And he's a good manager, dude, for sure.
Yeah, and the kind of stuff that he did, like, he scared, like, a lot of people, you know, with his game, with his setup, with his tactics and all. There were matches against City, against Chelsea, against United, against pretty much all the top six, and they held their ground, man. They didn't hold back and they didn't play like a defensive game, and it was really cool. And yeah, he has a decent squad and they spent some decent ass money, but yeah, I was very impressed with Wolves game overall, and I think that has a lot to do with the manager. So for me, he's...
Well, they were best of the rest for sure, like you said. They came in seventh, 3 points up clear on Everton. Everton, and I'm actually now forcing myself to look at the rest of the teams. Yeah. It was a lock-in for me. It's Jurgen Klopp.
Okay.
The guy killed it, man. Yeah. The guy's killing it. The project he set up.
Yeah.
Literally the day he came, he's like, listen, wait. Just wait for it to happen. And it's happening right in front of our eyes.
And now they're scary.
They're so scary, man. So for me it's Klopp, but I mean some honorable mentions there.
Yeah.
I like your pick. Would have given it to Ole if his first four game form would have continued. Poch obviously is to do that with a team which hasn't signed a player for a year and a half.
Right.
It's massive, man.
It is massive.
It's massive getting your club to the Champions League final for the first time.
Yeah.
All these
and narrowly missing out on third place.
Exactly. So he's always there in top four, no matter what. It's a shoe-in. So I think Poch deserves the respect from everyone.
Right.
Everyone else, I don't think Brendan Rodgers.
No, he's going to get fired, bro.
Yeah. We place a wager on that. Marco Silva, I liked him.
But then not as consistent.
Yeah. I actually loved him that first season at Watford.
Yes.
He was so good.
Yes.
And then kind of dropped a little bit. Yeah. Pellegrini at West Ham. But
They also spent like a shitload of money.
Yeah, where is West Ham getting the money from? they just got a really good striker in Sebastian Haller.
Yeah, from Eintracht. Yeah.
So good.
Right.
They got a very good team. Anyway, so my manager is Schuhen. It's Jurgen Klopp.
Okay.
And I feel like my team will beat your team.
Yeah, we should try this out on FIFA or something, right?
Can we? I don't even know if we can.
I'm sure we can. There's so much of customizability.
That's a good word. That's a word. That's right. That's a good word. Yeah. Okay, so FIFA, my team will bully your team. Oh, come on.
Okay, then.
Actually, no. You have Auba in FIFA, man. That guy's a different beast when it comes to computers. So you're going to keep running with him. Okay, so that wraps up our team of the season. Why don't we jump to some Chelsea talks, which I know you've been itching to get out of your system for an episode or two now. So let's dive right into our TFC take. So just to give an introduction to this segment, in the 16 years that Roman Abramovich has been the owner, they've had 13 managers.
So close to like a manager a year.
And because of that, there's no particular style established. Like Chelsea doesn't have a way of playing football just because every manager is coming in, switching things out, getting booted, new manager coming in. So there are a lot of approaches here. It was always about how an incoming manager can best use the current crop of players, plus convince managers to buy new players. And well, the Lampards and the, you know, the Terrys and stuff, they establish some sort of identity to that team.
Yeah.
But everyone, and then Hazard obviously later on as well. Any new manager would be stupid to ignore Hazard. But everything around those players would constantly keep changing. You know, Conte coming in, three at the back, then eventually becoming a five at the back. There's so many managers, I can't even cycle through that list off the top of my head. And it just gives no sort of identity to that team. So, and obviously that loan army, which we'll talk about as well. So let's dive into how this club sort of conducts its footballing business and what sort of repercussions that ends up happening on field.
Yeah. So first of all, how dare you forget 13 managers, 16 years, but 16 trophies, bro.
16 trophies is a fair point. Yeah. 16 trophies is a fair point. They've been... in this 16-year period, I feel like they've been the most successful English club.
Close to it, yeah.
What's the most successful? It can't be United.
I think in terms of the Premier League, I think it was United and now it's almost City. But so Chelsea, in these 16 years, have won four Premier Leagues. Oh, yeah, that does make us the most successful.
And overall, in terms of trophy haul, yeah, they do a pretty decent job.
Yeah, it's like the FA Cup and the League Cup was like, haan, ye toh banta hai Chelsea.
So he comes in when Claudio Ranieri was already manager.
Correct.
And did he even let Ranieri have a full season?
I believe so. He did, yes, because he came in. He came, yeah, no, Ranieri wasn't that.
I used to love pre-Abramovich Chelsea, by the way. Really? I still have a soft spot for that team. Hasselbank,
Zola,
Ida Gudjonsson,
yes,
and Claudio Ranieri. Yeah. And these four people, like, right. I think there was a pretty good team. So do you think it's a problem that Abramovich is so quick to pull the trigger? Or is it understandable with the amount of money he's spending on the team? Like, being a Chelsea fan, I'd love to know your perspective.
So there are two sides to this. Considering we won a trophy a year, and this is not counting community shields, by the way.
Okay.
Or UEFA Super Cups.
Okay. Checking. Okay.
But at the same time, yeah, I think the stats show that it has worked thus far. But I think at the same time, it's not a long-term prospect. You can't just keep on spending money. You can't compete with freaking slave and oil money.
Wow.
or the Americans. Like, even
heavy allegations. But, you know, barring the whole Galactico situation, yeah, at Real Madrid,
yeah,
which was also at this point of time very contained. Like, Perez had just become president a year or two before this.
Right.
And his agenda at that time was one major signing a year.
Yeah.
So he'd get a Figo, then he'd get a Zidane, then he'd get a Beckham or a,
yeah,
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And, like, if you think about it, Abramovich is the first sort of football owner, club owner, who's instilled this buy my way to titles philosophy, which a lot of clubs are following now.
Yeah.
So he laid out the template of how things are supposed to be done.
Yeah.
But given the 16 years now, I mean, yeah, sure, 16 trophies are great. They, yeah, did win the Champions League.
Yeah.
They won the Europa League as well.
Right.
So it's not like they've had a lack of success.
Yeah.
But what I find really intriguing is the seasons they don't have success.
It's horrible.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And those are mostly either transition seasons,
yeah,
or the seasons where the manager who did really well last season gets fired, just,
right,
like Jose's third season there.
Yeah.
Just really quickly cycling through these managers, okay? And why don't we just throw in what they did, what their achievements were? So we had Ranieri,
yeah,
that first season.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned, second place UCL semis.
Yeah.
Jose, back-to-back titles, comes,
yes,
in, blows everything apart, two,
yes,
League Cups and an FA Cup,
yeah,
and then gets fired.
Yeah.
The season. Mid-season, I think he got fired?
Yeah, this was around, I'd say, November, December.
So that's when Avram Grant comes in.
Took over, yeah.
Took them to the second place and lost the UCL final.
Yeah, which was so close. We had them by their necks. I remember 90 minutes, you know, the game was relatively equal. United was sort of had the upper hand. When we went to extra time, we were killing them, so it kind of sucked that went to penalties. And yeah,
despite all of this, Avram Grant isn't given the full-time role.
No.
So Scolari becomes a new coach.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Oh, not much, like 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And then Goose Hiddink comes. Yes. His most dependable sort of or
caretaker manager.
The world's caretaker manager, I'd like to call him. Guess him an FA Cup.
Yeah. We won against Everton.
You won against Everton, doesn't get an extension.
No, because, he was a caretaker manager and that was strictly his role. He's never been in it for the
Because he has to go
job.
Caretaker manager for other clubs also. he can't just, that's not caretaker manager. He's the worst caretaker manager. Okay, then Italian legend, according to me, one of the best man managers out there, Carlo Ancelotti comes in.
Right. And this season was crazy. I think we scored like 108 goals or something.
Right.
And this was really cool. We made some good signings and we won the league pretty easily. So this seemed interesting and then again it went to shit.
So you won the league and the FA Cup the same season?
Yeah, this is the first time we won the double like this.
And he was let go?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't start the next season, you're saying?
No, he didn't start the next season.
Ancelotti managed Chelsea for a season, you're saying?
Yeah.
And he got the double, domestic double.
Yeah.
What?
So it could have been that AVB, okay, I'm not sure. We'll have to check what years this is. But I do remember that he was let go very easily.
That sucks. Okay. And then we got Jose Part 2, Andre Villas-Boas. Who...
second in command,
again, self-proclaimed himself as the...
He was like he was Jose 2.0.
Yeah. And started out pretty well. I remember the season. Started out decent.
Right.
Seemed exciting enough.
And then again.
And then lost the plot. So they got Roberto Di Matteo, who was, I think, his second in command at that time.
Yeah.
So he stepped up.
Yeah.
Got them that famous UCL.
Yes.
And an FA Cup.
Yeah.
And then everyone, I was 100% convinced that because of his showing, because of him being Chelsea second tier manager, he would be promoted.
He was. He survived for 7 months.
Okay. So he did start the next season. And then that went to shit.
And then
Rafa Benitez it. This is a joke, man. Okay. Rafa Benitez ends with a third place finish.
Right.
And a Europa Cup win.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man. You're first. Okay. And then beyond Benitez, we have part two of Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, the happy one this time.
Oh, he was a happy one?
Yeah. That's self-proclaimed.
Bas, the guy needs to breathe and do some meditation and stuff, man. He's such a good manager, but he keeps shooting himself in the foot with his stupid comments.
Yeah, and then it's almost he the British media is anyways brutal, and I think he makes it worse for himself in terms of what he says and how he says it. And he makes it seem like it's him against the world, which it's not. So, it was kind of...
He leans into that narrative so much that it's really tough to... Remember that outburst he had on with United? The Sri. What is this?
Yeah,
Sri.
kept on doing that.
What are you doing? Sri titles. More than all the managers combined. Who cares?
Yeah.
You're getting a butt whooped right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. He gets me riled up, man. I have mixed feelings about Jose Mourinho.
Yeah,
I really love him and I really hate him at the same time.
Yeah, and then the season that he was fired, Chelsea finished 10th place.
Brilliant.
And then Hiddink came again to save us.
Of course.
And then we offered him the permanent job and he's like, nope.
Because he can't. It's not. He knows what his best look is and that's caretaking. So then Antonio Conte comes in. Your guys is third Italian manager now. Yeah. Technically counting Roberto Di Matteo, fourth.
Yeah.
Has a great first season, I think.
I think he took it by storm. The formation, the way the wingbacks worked, Diego Costa was untouchable. Victor Moses, Alonso. In the middle, we got Fabregas. So he was really cool.
He was the guy who caught Conte. Conte got Kante.
Yeah. And we had Kante and Matic as our central midfield. Are you like, that was just...
That just sounds like beautiful, man.
Exactly.
He won the domestic double again.
Yeah.
And, didn't go so well after that.
Didn't go so well after that because I think he was too... He tried to take on the dressing room and he's been one of the most stricter managers.
He is very like that.
Yeah, he had he had weird stuff with respect to dietary arrangements in the training complex where he banned stuff like ketchup. He said ketchup is too unhealthy.
Yeah.
And a lot of players took, they didn't take that too well. He used to do double training sessions.
Yeah.
And especially when we lose, he'd try to get to the bottom of it and he'd sort of say that, oh, you guys are not putting in as much as you used to. And just because things came so naturally, like the first season or the first time around, that doesn't mean that you sort of take it easy on the pedal and, you know, don't work as hard and stuff. And the players didn't really, really like that. And yeah, specifically,
and the whole Diego Costa bust up must have not helped.
Yeah, that was so messed up. Like, despite Costa, like, Costa didn't bother learning the language. Like, he couldn't even call John Terry by his name. He used to call him Capitano. Right? And despite that, he was still like a beast. There were so many matches which he won single-handedly where we played so, so bad. And I think that's how a lot of teams that end up winning the Premier League, it's how they manage in bad games. They still manage, yeah, to get like a draw or a
exactly
win.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you lose points otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, apparently what happened is, next season, whatever, like Costa and him didn't see eye to eye and he sent him a text message saying, you're not in my plans. So that was not
well,
cool.
I know Costa was also pushing back pretty hard. Like, he just refused to leave Brazil, yeah, on vacation and stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever. However that went, Conte chapter done and dusted.
Yeah.
And he took a year break and now he's the manager of Inter.
Yeah.
Then you got your second, or no, fifth or fourth, I've lost count, Italian manager in Maurizio Sarri. So it's a straight jump from no ketchup to cigarettes for everyone. I think the season went pretty well.
No, it didn't.
I think it went pretty well.
Considering the signings he made, even signings from Conte's last season, I don't know, like I said, the, you know, Terry retired, Cech left, Ashley Cole left, Lampard left, and in fact, Lampard even scored against Chelsea.
In City?
So he was signed by New York FC, which is co-owned by Slave and Oil Money.
Sister club, it's called.
Yeah. And very conveniently, I think at this time, Pellegrini was manager of City, and very conveniently, they loaned, Lampard to City.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he came on as a sub, Stamford Bridge. I think we were leading 2-1. He scored his typical Lampard late run into the box.
He was super sub for City that season.
Yeah,
like,
man.
He just come in late, score a goal. Right. I think he had a pretty good goal to
game to goal ratio. Yeah. And so considering the spine was missing, considering there was no foundation, considering these managers were coming and going, and none of them really like stamped a foot with respect to authority, or maybe they weren't allowed to. Also, at the same time, we also lost our director of football, Michael Emanalo. So I think our transfers were a little haphazard, and then we just haphazard. Nice. We did get hazard. Considering the signings we made, a lot of them, like, we signed, you know, De Bruyne, we signed Salah, we signed Lukaku, and we had such strong teams then that these guys were young, and if they couldn't make it, they weren't happy sitting on the bench or weren't happy like playing reserves games, which is why we ended up, you know, shipping them off and selling them or loaning them and stuff. So I don't entirely blame Chelsea for letting go of these like really cool young players who've now become superstars in their own right. Let's scratch Lukaku out of that and just keep the De Bruyne.
What about Oscar, man, and Andre Schürrle?
Yeah, Oscar, man. I think...
Oscar scored against Juve.
That was his
swank.
Champions League debut. He ran circles around Pirlo literally and just turned and shot. And wow, that was really cool.
But, you know, like, we've spoken about youth. Chelsea has maybe like they're top of the list in terms of the amount of loanies they have out.
Yeah.
So they have a youth system going.
We have 40 plus loanies at this
point.
That's
insane. Yeah. And then still you're not seeing this integration with the youth. And then the seniors have moved on. It's not competitive. I don't know. I can't say for sure if Abramovich's philosophy or the way he runs his club is a successful footballing model. It might be successful or unsuccessful financially, but I mean, who cares, man? This is football.
Exactly. Like,
it's supposed to be football first, money second.
Yeah, I think this is honestly an FFP sort of like our sort of cheat code or hack when it comes to FFP, because we're signing players for less than $1 million. We'll send them on loan for like 4 different teams over 4 or 5 years, and then we'll end up selling them to either championship teams or other Premier League teams for like 10, 20, 30 million. So that way there's some serious ass profit. But yeah, at the same time, if you consider Chelsea as a business, this doesn't, like, on paper, yes, we might be making profits here and there, and there were rumors for Stamford Bridge to get renovated and like increase the capacity and stuff. That went to shit when a Russian spy was killed in London. So
let's not get into that.
Yeah, so Yeah, it really sucks that from the academy, so to say, from the youth ranks, we just have RLC and now hopefully Hudson-Odoi making it to the first team. And that has a lot to do with the transfer ban. That has a lot to do with Lampard now coming in and realizing that we've lost our way. And I think right now in this current team, I think we only have like Luis and Aspi as like proper senior players. We lost Hazard. He used to normally run the show on the field.
But then see, Cech is back.
Yeah, he's like, director of
Cech
football.
Cech is back.
Yeah.
He has a lot of Chelsea in his blood. Yeah. Lampard, obviously. Yeah. Jody Morris as well, his manager, who was in charge of the youth team.
Correct.
When these guys were in Chelsea.
Yep.
So I guess what remains to be seen, and I'm not confident enough to take a call here whether it's going to happen or not.
Yep.
But because of the transfer ban and because of this whole unique managerial appointment.
Yep.
This is very un-Chelsea like. If the transfer ban wasn't there, I don't think Frank Lampard would have been the Chelsea manager.
Yeah, in terms of timing, I think he said it himself also in not so many words that this is honestly the best time he can be Chelsea manager.
I mean, this is it's a very unique situation for Chelsea to be in, which is it's a rebuild.
Yep.
Chelsea's never been in a rebuild phase. They just buy their way to a rebuild.
Yeah.
So they can't do that. So it'll be pretty interesting. I feel like he's safe this season regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to disappoint that bad.
Yeah.
And post the ban lifting, it'll be great if Abramovich shows faith in Lampard.
Yeah.
Won't be surprised if he doesn't. And that just rounds up the way he does business at this football club, which
right.
is he makes sure they're in the green in terms of money, but he's still very shrewdly utilize that those transfer funds and get whatever player that manager wants at that time,
right?
It's a joke that Jorginho came to Chelsea for this one season and Sarri's back and Jorginho's left here.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be stupid if Kante doesn't go back to CDM.
It will be really stupid. In fact, he was asked during his first press conference and Lampard said, "Don't worry, I know what his best position is."
Thank God. But then what does Jorginho do? Because Jorginho can't play anywhere else apart from that position.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, where he uses him. Lampard's been using various versions of the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3 during preseason. And we've got Christian Pulisic also come in. So, yeah, it'll be really cool to see how he uses whatever he has on disposal. And on paper, it isn't that bad. On paper, I think a fourth place will do really, really well. At the same time...
A good run in like a domestic cup would also... like they can actually do that because they're a strong enough team to have a good showing in the FA Cup, for example. So, I think... I agree with you. On paper, this team is solid enough to not... compete at the for a top two maybe, but hold its own whenever it needs to.
Right.
And I'm just very curious to see Frank managing a top tier Premier League team.
Right.
So this is going to be fun because these guys are playing Champions League next season.
Yo.
So watching Frank Lampard on a Champions League dugout is just I love the guy. I think he was a big part of why I liked Chelsea growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty curious to see what comes out of this. I hope he gets a minimum of 2 years to show his true abilities.
Same.
Because this year won't be...
It's not fair.
It's not fair, but, on the other hand, Pochettino's done it for a year and a half.
Yeah, but Pochettino's like proper seasoned coach. And
he is.
He's magic, man.
He is. But, Lampard, seeing Lampard, you know that he's one of those players who will transfer to a coaching position pretty effortlessly.
Right.
Like the Guardiolas and even the Antonio Contes, right?
Yes.
You know these footballing brain type people.
Correct.
So I definitely see Lampard as one. So hopefully he's able to do whatever he's built to do.
Right.
And let's see what Chelsea does next season, man. I'm pretty excited for this season to kick off. A lot of player movement, seeing what Liverpool's response to City is going to be.
Yeah.
Seeing how Chelsea holds up. Seeing what Ole's sort of plan of action is. I like his direction as well in terms of
the signings
and building and youth and stuff like that.
Right.
So overall, I mean, as long as it's another competitive season, then what more can you ask for, man? Except for a transfer ban.
Yeah, it's funny. We haven't heard much from what Chelsea is planning to do because we're still, I think we've appealed to the CES, which is the Court of Arbitration of Sport. And I think it's going to be a while since we hear back. So I don't know if we're going to be on for the winter season or not.
I don't think that'll happen, because otherwise we would have heard some rumbling about it. So, yeah. I mean, for you, just for your emotional level, just assume that the winter season is also a ban.
Right.
Anyways, that wraps up this episode of The Football Corner. Hope you guys enjoyed. Be sure to like, subscribe, wherever you guys are hearing this. And we will see you guys next week.
See you.